You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. We pray that today's message encourages you in your faith journey.
So great to be in church, church family together. And it is our joy to welcome some new people into the church family this morning. Pastor Dan and Poppy, I met for the first time this morning, though we've been in conversation up until now, and they are from the Gold Coast. They are from a church where we wish we could just like pluck up and drop down, you know, every now and then. Is anyone with me? They're like, okay, yeah, just get some sun on our faces just for a brief time before then coming back to winter down here. And so they are the youth pastors, they lead the young adults and also in missions at Highway Church on the Gold Coast. Dan spoke at the Youth Alive main event last night and is backing up for us this morning as well. So can we give him a great LMC welcome to church to preach the word to us today?
Well, thank you so much for having us today. And on behalf of me and my wife, Poppy, we're just so grateful to be here. Such a presence of God in the room. And I want to just say that is unique, the anointing in the room through worship. There was such a peace of the Lord. And I'm just excited for what God is going to speak through his gospel today. And who's excited? Who loves the word of God? Anybody love the word of God? I love it. Where would we be without the word? You know, our lives are being built on a word. And we get to choose whether it's his word or the world's word or people's word or somebody. Who knows that our word means nothing? Our word returns void, but his word never returns void. His word is a sure foundation. His word is eternal, and it lasts, and it can speak into our circumstance and speak into our situations here today and now. And I'm so excited to be opening up the word. I want to thank your pastors, your amazing pastors. Can we give it up for these guys? The heart that you carry, I mean, we've only just met, but there's an authenticity, there's a strength in you that I look up to, and I just want to thank you so much for having us. Thank you for trusting us with this platform, and this is the greatest honor of my life, and I mean that. Before I do what we do now, I've been a youth pastor with my wife Poppy. We've been youth pastors for over 9 years on the Gold Coast, young adult pastors now, and also do some missions work. By the way, the work that you're doing, I believe it's in Uganda. That touched my heart. I love a church that is missions focused and it's blessed. I believe that we're blessed to be a blessing. I believe that we're in the great nation Australia, but we are blessed to be a blessing to those around us. And we do global work in India. Poppy, my wife, she actually went to Africa and was there for 3 months. So we really have a heart for that missions focus. But I want to congratulate you. The work that you're doing, it looks amazing. And God sees that. God sees us loving the orphan, the widow. He sees us when we're generous. And that just touched my heart, the work that you guys are doing there. But before I did what I do now, my life was about bringing people the bad news in journalism. My life was constantly about crime. It was constantly about if it bleeds, it leads. My life was about, you know, you hear the court stories and you hear the tragedies. And all of my life was about relaying the bad news. And then one day God spoke to me. He said, I could either spend my life telling people the bad news that's here today and gone tomorrow, or I could spend my life telling people the good news that'll last for eternity. And this is, to this day, the greatest honor that I have is to open up his word and to declare the good news to the church today. And I've got a picture of my family we're going to put up. If we can put that up. Thank you, team. By the way, your team's been amazing. They've been so great. This is our little girl, Rivera. This is my wife, Poppy, but this is our little girl, Rivera. She's 15 months old. And she's got a big smile in this picture, but what you won't see is that behind the cameraman is a toasted sandwich that we're holding up in the air. That's why she's smiling so much. And I think we should look to Jesus like she's looking towards that toasted sandwich this morning. She's just like me. She loves her food and, she's only eating bland food. She likes chippies. She likes sometimes steak. She is the most random diet, but she's the greatest blessing of our life. But who knows? This is an Instagram moment. This is a perfect family photo. Look at everybody. We're all happy. She's smiling. There's a toasted cheese sandwich that she's smiling at, but she's still smiling. This moment's been captured. And these days are great. These days we give God the glory, we give Him the honor, we say thank you, Lord, for this amazing day with my family. Thank you, Lord, that everything seems to be working out. But some days we have these days. Can we go to the next photo? This is one of the first moments Poppy left me alone with her. And I remember, I'm a new dad, I've never done this before. There's so much about babies that I don't know. I didn't even think about babies until we're having one. Like, I don't know what to do. And Poppy was gone for about 50 minutes. And she's like, can you just take care of Rivera? She'll be fine. She's going to sleep. That's what she told me. I'm like, thank God, because I can't really help much unless. And literally, as soon as Poppy left, she's like, had this alarm go off. Rivera wakes up and she starts crying. And I'm like driving. You know, dads, you're doing the drive. You're praying and you're like, Lord, please help her to go back to sleep. Like, I don't really know what to do here. And anyway, she's crying and she's crying and she's crying. Eventually, I pull over and I'm in this car park and I'm getting out. I check the nappy. Nappy's fine. I check all the things that I know what to check. And she's crying for minutes on end, like 20 minutes. And so I end up picking her up and I'm singing her this song. Happy girl, happy girl, I'm a happy girl. Every time I would sing it, she would stop crying and just look at me as I'm bouncing her up and down. As soon as I stop singing it, this. But I show you this picture because, can we go back to the previous photo team? We all want days like this. We can thank God for the good days. We can thank God, Lord, thank you that today was a good day with the kids. Thank you, Lord, that today was a good day financially. Thank you, Lord, that today was a good day at work. Thank you, Lord. But who knows that if we do the journey of life with Christ long enough, there will be days like this and there'll be days like this. It's actually up to us, thank you, team, how we respond to the days in between. You know, we all love to have great days, but there are days that we will have to walk through and we will have to step into a place of living in contentment. And my message today is titled, The Pursuit of Contentment. The Pursuit of Contentment. And I want to unpack a scripture found in Philippians 4, 10 to 13. Paul writes this scripture from a prison cell. And it's important that we get that context because sometimes when we think of the scriptures, we can think Paul's like on the height of his life when he's writing this. He's going through a really good season. No, no, no. Paul writes this scripture, and you will notice the end verse, verse 13, we all know, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. But before that verse, there's a passage that Paul writes that touched my heart because he's writing from a prison cell, likely in Rome. He's been there for over 10 years and he's writing to the church. And this is what he says in verse 10. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I wonder if he felt a little forgotten by this church. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Man, he's filling in the blanks there. He's like, I know you've been praying for me. I know you were concerned for me. I know you've been with me. Even though I haven't necessarily felt it physically, I know your intentions were good. And he says, not that I was ever in need. Listen to this. He's in prison. Not that I was ever in need. For I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. Verse 13, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Let me pray before we go any further. Father, I thank you that your word is alive and breathing. I thank you, Lord, that it's sharper than any double-edged sword. I thank you, Lord, that it's useful for training, rebuking, and training us in righteousness. And Lord, I pray that it would cut away at the things that need to be cut off our life today. I pray that, Lord, it would bring fresh life into dead places today. And Lord, I thank you that you would breathe upon those words in Philippians today, right here and now, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Australia is a blessed nation, amen? We live in an amazing nation. We live in blessing. We live in prosperity. We have so much going for us as a nation. But how is it that our society is so stuck in depression? How is it that our society is so stuck in the rhythm of life where we have mental health in our schools at record heights across the world? Our teenagers are suffering mentally. We rate number 12 in the world for happiness. All of these different things. We rate number 38 in the world for mental health and illnesses and stuff like this. We have things that have been caught in us, even in prosperity. And there is so much in this nation that we need to give God glory for, but there is also so many things that we walk through that even in our prosperity, we need Jesus in. And we live in a world in our nation where we don't really feel like we need anything. It's very easy to live in Australia and feel like who knows that tonight you're going home and you're getting a full belly, because there will be dinner on the table. Who knows that today when you leave this place, there's a roof over your head. We live in a world where we can get in the place where we forget our need for God. In the age that we live in, how have we become so discontent in our world? And it's not just inside the church, it's outside the church. The world around us is so discontent in where they are, because we don't need for anything, but we want for everything. You see, in our pursuit of happiness, which we get taught to pursue, social media, influence, celebrities teach us to pursue happiness. You know, the world teaches us to do what makes us what? Happy. That's what we get taught. Do whatever makes you happy. Go wherever makes you happy. Make the decision that whatever makes you happy. But I'm here to say, don't do what makes you happy. Do not live your life to be happy. If we live our life to be happy, friend, then we will always have a longing for more. If we only live our life to be happy, happiness is a good thing, but let me tell you, it's a fleeting thing. It will be here today and gone tomorrow. And so if my life and my relationship with God is about how happy I am, then it's only a matter of time until my faith is broken. We cannot live our lives in the pursuit of happiness, because happiness can only be achieved by things that are external to you. It can only be achieved by something that's out there. It can only be achieved, you know, let me tell you, it's so much harder to be happy today because we don't need anything. Let me tell you, in about 100 years ago, if I was to come to you and give you a bottle of milk, you 100 years ago, you'd be like, thank you so much for this milk. This saves me. I don't need to buy a cow. I don't need to go travel on horseback or however you would get to the local market. It's going to save me a lot of time. I'm really appreciative for this milk. Today, you'd be happy with the milk. But today, if I gave you a bottle of milk, you'd be like, is it lactose free? Does it have extra dollop? What brand is it? Farmhouse Gold with the cream on top? Come on, somebody. What type of milk is this? If I was to give you a loaf of bread 100 years ago, you would be happy. You'd be like, thank you for this bread. This is amazing bread, Dan. Thank you so much. You would be happy because of the external thing that has been fulfilled. You would be happy with that bread. If I was to give you that loaf of bread today, is it gluten-free? Is it my brand? Is it Abbott's Bakery, soy and linseed? Because I don't eat anything else. White bread? No white bread. No carbs around here. But it was so easy because there was so much that we needed that could be fulfilled. And we live in an age where you don't have to worry about milk. You don't have to worry about bread. You don't have to worry about the roof over our head. And suddenly we're in this place where we have stopped needing and now we want for everything. I want this. I want more wealth. And the problem when we want for something is we always want to be the er. We want to be fitter, wealthier, smarter. Nothing wrong with these things, but we want. And then when we get we get fitter, smarter, prettier, whatever it is. Then we want to be ist. I want to be the wealthiest. I want to be the smartest. I want to be the best. I want the best family. I want this and that. And suddenly our world becomes all consuming for what we want rather than the pursuit of the cross. You see, if you live your life simply to be happy, you will always give up what you want most for what you want right now. We will. There's something in our life that if we only live to be happy, if we make the decision, culture says, do what makes you happy. God says, do what makes you content. Follow me, carry the cross. There'll be good days, there'll be bad days, but our faith isn't set in the moment. It's set on him who saved us, Jesus Christ, the living Savior. You see, we can't pursue happiness, church. I know this is like, wow, what are you saying? I'm not saying it's bad to be happy or to be condemned if you're happy. Fantastic, be happy. But it is not the core thing in our life. We are called to be people of depth, people of conviction, people who, despite the circumstances around us, we choose the way of Christ. We choose the way of holiness. You see, after the First World War, our economy shifted from a needs-based economy. Companies saw the opportunity. It shifted from a needs-based economy to a wants-based economy. And I was at uni and we were studying marketing, and the basic premise of marketing is to create a need or a want for somebody in their life. So you'll be watching the midday TV and the Ab Circle Pro will come up on the TV. And you will be sitting there and you don't want abs. You don't really need abs. Nobody thinks you're going to get abs. But you buy the Ab Circle Pro because it creates a want in you that you suddenly want. You need this thing that is external to you. And our life cannot be about following that. It has to be about following him. If we want for everything, we will no longer need him for anything. It would be a lie to believe that, but we can find security in what we can provide. You see, happiness is getting harder and harder and harder to achieve these things in our life, but we have been called to be people of contentment, to be people who are content in every season, that God is working all things together for the good of those who love him, that although I don't see the light right now, although I might be walking through a dark season right now, I believe that he is turning things. I believe that he is here, present with me, and I find joy in that place that he is with me. You see, physical prosperity will not lead us to live content lives. Doesn't matter that we're in Australia and that we're blessed. It will not lead us to live content lives. Contentment is internal. Happiness is external. God wants to be us. God wants us to create a place in us where we are content. Let me say, I love this quote from C.S. Lewis in the book Screwtape Letters. Highly encourage you to read that book if you haven't. It says, prosperity knits a man to the world. Alarm bells in Australia. Prosperity knits a man to the world. We're in a place where it's so easy to be knitted into the world. He feels that he is finding his place in it, while really it is finding its place in him. You see, the constant need for more is killing us. It's killing us. And if we're to live content lives, if we're to live lives that are content in Christ, the first thing we've got to understand, we've got to remember the miracle of the mundane. Remember the miracle of the mundane. Psalm 103 verse 2 says, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. May I never forget the good things that he does for me. That it's so easy to forget the place of the miracle that we stand in today. I don't know about you, but I'm forgetful. I forget my keys. I forget my wallet. I forget where I'm going. I'm terrible with directions. I'm just forgetful. Anybody else in the room, you're a bit forgetful. I would forget my head if it wasn't screwed on. That's what my dad used to say about me when I was a teenager. But I'm forgetful. And the thing about this is, I think everybody in the church is a bit forgetful sometimes. We forget the good things that we're actually standing in today, that although today might feel mundane, it's a miracle. The fact that you're in church on a Sunday is a miracle. There's grace in that place. The fact that your kids are here today and they're worshiping in the house of God, it's a miracle, friend. And sometimes we forget the miracle of the mundane and we forget to give him glory. And it's when we forget the miracle that we're standing in that we get discontent. you see in Numbers, there's this story of the Israelites. They've been freed from Egypt. They're walking in freedom. God's delivering manna to them day after day. But they have to work the manna in order to have the sustenance. And anyway, what happens is, although they've been freed from slavery, although they've walked out, they've literally were in a place in Egypt where they were being forced to make bricks without straw. They were being beaten, tortured. All these different type horrific things were happening to them and their people. God frees them. Amazing story. And they grow, it says in Numbers, they grew discontent with the manna. They grew discontent in the mundane miracle. They grew discontent and they started saying, we want meat. In other words, we don't want manna, Lord, we want meat. In other words, we want more. We want more. You know what? I think sometimes we look a little bit like these Israelites who have been freed from slavery. We're walking in a miracle. God is providing manna. It might not be like physical manna, but He is providing things for your life today that He requires your hands to be at work with. But something in us says, Lord, I want more. I want meat. I want whatever it is. And God in His grace holds back in those moments because He knows that more won't sustain you. God gives the people what they want, and guess what? It kills them. Thank God for every prayer that He has left unanswered, that we could not carry the weight of the blessing. Thank God for every prayer that although it didn't make sense in the moment, but His hand was there because He didn't want it to bring harm to our life. He wanted it to build our life. You see, there are some prayers that you are walking in the miracle of that we need to give God glory for today. You know that family, those kids that you prayed for? Parents in the room, those kids that you prayed for, and you got the call about the school incident this week, and something in you was like, Lord, why? But can I remind you, you prayed for those kids. You believe for those kids. Those kids are sent by God. I know it might feel mundane right now, but God has blessed you with them. Give Him the glory. Remember. Maybe the finances. Lord, how do I steward these finances well? Let me remind you, if God has put finances into your world, then it is a blessing from God. You prayed for those finances. Maybe it's just a moment. Maybe we've forgotten the mundane miracles of the world that we live in. I'm thankful for AirTags. Anybody have an AirTag on their phone, on their keys, anything like that? AirTags are a little, I put them on my keys. Poppy gave me an AirTag for Christmas one year, and I was like, why did you get me an AirTag? I'm not going to use this. She's like, you'll use it. And what it does is, when you lose your keys, you can go on your phone and you can actually send a signal, and it will start a sound coming from your keys. So anywhere in the house, you can hear it, you can go get it. It reminds me where it is. And I was like to Poppy, I'm not going to use this AirTag. She's like, you'll use it. Literally that afternoon, I used it. I'm walking around the house, where are my keys? Well, and then in that moment, I was thankful for the AirTag because what was lost was actually found. It's my prayer. Father, let the Holy Spirit remind us of the good things that we are walking in today. Let the Holy Spirit, although we might not be in a perfect situation with our kids, with your family, although you might be a new parent, your kid is crying every night and you're sleep deprived, you might be a mother in the mother's room and you haven't been able to make it in the service today, but I want to remind you, give God the glory for the mundane miracle that He has placed us in. Let us be people who continually give Him the glory. That is the road to contentment. You see, Paul says, I have learned to be content. In other words, it's not necessarily a gift that just floats down from heaven and into my heart, but I've actually got to apply my focus and my time to learning to be content. That although I might be in a place where I don't want to be, I'm trying to take notes as a good student does, and I'm saying, Lord, help me to have a heart that is after You and not after the things of this world. Help me to have a heart that wants for more of You and not for more of that. Help me to have a heart that is in pursuit of You, Jesus. Today, I'm praying that the AirTag of the Holy Spirit will drop some things in our heart that before we leave this room, we can be thanking God, giving Him the glory, even for the problems. You got a business and you got some problems right now. would be praying for that, but also thank God for that. Because although that was the business that you prayed for, when you first started it, it didn't look like it was going to go anywhere, but you believed and you sowed in faith and He's blessing it. There might be some problems, but God is in that place too. If we're going to live content lives, we must filter our feelings and not catch our feelings. 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. Thank God for that. On contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Love this part. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's how we learn. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Right now in this room, even as I'm speaking, there are thoughts flying all around this auditorium. From this side all the way through, doesn't matter where you are, there are millions and millions and millions of thoughts flying all over this room, and some of us are catching the wrong ones. Every single day that we walk around, I want you to imagine like a ping pong ball flying towards you right now. We're catching some and we're throwing some. And some of us, right, we live our life and there are just thoughts that we catch. We catch every single thought. We catch every single thought that comes our way. We don't filter our thoughts and it ruins our days. We don't filter our thought. We have been given the Word of God to filter our thoughts through. And I want to encourage you today, doesn't matter how long we've been following Jesus, to get the Word of God in our heart, in our mind, so that when the thoughts come, we can filter it through His Word and not our Word. I can get so negative. I can be the most negative person in the room if I'm going through my words. If I don't have His words in my heart, then I can start to spiral. Anybody spiral sometimes in thoughts? I get so stressed sometimes. But when I fill myself with His Word, I can filter out the thoughts that are not His. And this is my point. Either you're taking your thoughts captive or they're taking you captive. There is no in-between. You are either taking your thoughts captive and going, not for me, not for my family. That's not the word, that's not the thought, that's not the thing I'm going to dwell on because it's not according to His Word. Or they're taking you captive. They're leading you down the thought path. They're leading you down into discontentment. We have a choice. Let me ask you a question. Are you filtering your thoughts? Does your thought security look like airport security? Or does it look like Kmart security? I'm a youth pastor. I go to Kmart a lot because it's very, very cheap. And I'm on a youth budget and I've got to do lots of stuff with a small budget. So I go to Kmart. Kmart is a blessing from God. But one of the things that's not very good at is security. I feel like I go through with like trolley loads of stuff piling out. And it feels so useless because I've got my receipt and I walk up with the trolley. And I reckon I could pretty much put anything I wanted in the trolley and they'll be like, yeah, you're good to go, mate. Go through. The security guard's literally just there to look the part but not be the part. They're not checking everything. But when I go to the airport, I have to take out my laptop, take out the iPad. I have to get the body scan. Yeah. Maybe the pat down because you look a little bit sus. Who knows? You have multiple levels of security. And can I encourage you? Let's have airport-style security in our thought life and not Kmart-style security. And the best security I found in my thought life is to have His Word alive and breathing in my life every single day. And I want to encourage you, if you're not in the Word of God, open it up before you start your day. Because if I go through my day hungry, I'll usually gravitate to the wrong things. But if I go through my day with a fresh word on my heart, I can dwell on it the whole entire day. Filter your thoughts and do not simply catch your thoughts. You see, Moody says this, I love this quote. Obedience means marching right on whether we feel like it or not. Many times we go against our feelings. Faith is one thing, feeling is another. And I want to preface this. There's no problem with feelings. They're real human experiences. There is no condemnation. There is no shame in feeling something, but we get to choose what we dwell on. We actually get to choose what we meditate on, what we worship in our feelings. And I love that faith is one thing, feeling is another. We cannot be people that allow our feelings to lead our faith. The opposite. It's not the way of Christ. Our faith can lead our feelings. Feelings are a great thing. We don't disregard them. We get help professionally if we need to. All those things are great. But we allow our faith to lead our feelings, not the other way around. The third point I have is that if we're to live content lives, we must understand, this is going to break some people's hearts, that there is no utopia this side of eternity, but there is a hope. We've been sold a lie that somewhere there is a utopia that is perfect. There's a perfect government. Nope. There's a perfect climate agreement. No. There's a perfect leader. Nope. There's a perfect church. Nope. There is no place this side of eternity that is perfect. We're aiming for heaven, but as we stand here, there is no place this side of earth that is perfect. Philippians 3, 12 to 14. He says this, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have reached perfection. But listen to this. He has not reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Listen, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive a heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. See, utopia is an imagined state or state of things in which everything is right. Lots of young adults going around this world thinking there is a utopia here and now, but there's not. There is a place that we long for. There is a place that is being prepared. There is a place where His kingdom is coming from heaven on earth, but we are walking in the stead of that place. There's a divine, I want to preface this, there's a divine dissatisfaction that comes with contentment. Contentment does not mean that you are happy in the slump that you are in. It doesn't mean that you're like, oh, well, God's going to do it all. God's going to bring about blessing. I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. God's going to bring the world in and it's going to be fantastic. No, no, no. We've been given hands. We've been given legs. We've been given a body for such a time as this so that we can walk into the things of God. So there's a divine dissatisfaction that comes with contentment. And this is it. It's that I know I'm building my life heavenward and not towards the earth. I'm building my life towards Him. And I know there is a hope and there is a future in Him. And I'm not satisfied in the brokenness, but I'm actually building my life into His wholeness. You see, perfect is not out there, but heavenly hope is. See, discontent people rely on the temporal. Discontent people rely on the here and now. Content people rely on the eternal. Are you building something that will last for eternity or a lifetime? See, we are all building something in this world, and we can have whatever we want, we just have to build it. Every one of us are building a life that will either impact eternity or just this moment in time. Can I encourage you? Let's build for eternity. Let's get eternity on our hearts. Let's get eternity on our lips. Let's live our life toward heaven. Amen? Let's live our life toward heaven. Let's live our life towards Him who is able. See, our whole life, our whole human experience is about building trust in God. About building trust in Him. Every step we have on earth, that we take a step into who He's called us to be, we build trust. and we build trust and we build trust. Our whole life is building us for the moment when we step into eternity with the one who loved us, with the one who died for us, with the one who set us free. That is what our life is about. It's about blessing our world in this journey, and it's about stepping towards eternity every single day. We become more like Him. The greatest leap we will take in our trust with God will be the moment we leave this temporary earth and we are united with Him in heaven. Our whole life is leading to that trust jump. It's a leap of faith. The moment we leave this life, and I want to be a person that is prepared to say, Lord, I thank you that I can trust you in this moment. From my first breath to my last breath, you are a faithful God, you are a good God, and I have my attention towards heaven, Father. You see, our whole world is building to that moment for us to step into eternity. We have a hope. We have a joy. We have an eternal perspective in a temporal world. Some of us, if I can encourage you, get an eternal perspective. When we have an eternal perspective, our heart for the world around us will break. When we have an eternal perspective, it'll make coming to church, even when you don't feel like it, it would be like, well, I'm going to get my kids into church, even if it's cold, if it's raining, if they've had a bad week or a good week, I'm going to make sure that as for me and my household, we are in the house of the Lord, because I have an eternal perspective that is directing my life. Directing my emotions is directing my feelings. If I can't have the band back, that would be amazing. If we are to live content lives, we must aim to build a deep trust in God. We must aim to build a deep trust in God. In Ezekiel 47, there's this image of this river. The river represents the presence of God. It's a lovely passage of scripture. I'm going to read it right now. But it takes the prophet through this season where he's ankle deep and then he's knee deep, and it gets to this point where it's sort of like fully immersed. And in Ezekiel 47 verse 6 to 9 it says, he asked me, have you been watching, son of man? And then he led me back along the riverbank. When I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing along both sides of the river, because there's always life where his presence flows. And then he said to me, this river flows east through the desert in the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of the river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever the water flows. Life will flourish wherever the water flows. We must aim to build a deep trust in God. And we must aim to build a deep trust in His presence. His presence is the source of our life. His presence is the thing that changes stuff. His presence is the thing that alters destiny. It's His presence that can alter our family. It's His presence that can take us from here in our emotions to here. Have you ever been in a moment where you thought you needed a holiday when really you just needed to get on your knees and pray to Him and you came out more refreshed than a holiday could have given you? Have you ever been in that place? I've been in that place. I'm like, Lord, I need a holiday. I'm so tired. I'm just feeling so tired right now. And I felt God say, you don't need a holiday. You need to get on your knees and pray to me. Because there is life when we position ourselves in His presence. I don't want to talk to every generation, from the oldest through to the youngest. I want to say there is life when we position ourselves in His presence. And I love this generational church. If you're a young person in this room, the best thing you could do is ask somebody who's been on the journey a long time, how do I live a life for God? How do I get into His presence? How do I believe in the season that I'm walking through? And it's the best because we get to learn one generation to the next. It's a beautiful thing about the church is that we are all about building a deep trust in God. My question for you is, are you ankle deep? Sunday, ankle depth experience, but you won't be in His presence for the rest of the week. This is as much of the presence of God that you'll have because you don't believe you can take it outside this room. Are you ankle deep? Maybe today you feel like you're knee deep. Maybe you might read your Bible once or twice this week and that'll be great. But there comes a point where you need to be fully submerged, fully baptized into His presence. Fully submerged in His presence. I want to encourage you today, church, get into His presence again. There was a beautiful atmosphere of His presence this morning as we met and we worshiped Him. But get into His presence tomorrow on Monday. Get into His presence on Tuesday. Get into His presence on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday. Get into His presence because there is life. There is contentment. There is joy. There is goodness. There is love. There's a brand new start in His presence every single day. If you're walking through a hard season, can I encourage you? The best friend, and Jesus is the best friend in this hour. He is there with you and His door is open for you. If you're walking through a season, you're like, Dan, I feel so bogged down by everything that's happened. Friend, I would love to pray for you in this moment in just a few short moments time, because I believe that our life is about building depth in our trust for God. The good times cannot build depth, unfortunately. When everything's going perfect, a little bit happening, but I tell you what, when you need God, and when you have no other option but God, and when you feel like your back is against the wall, and you feel like things have been just happening, let me tell you, in that place, there is a depth that success couldn't bring. There is a depth that your financial blessing couldn't bring. There is a depth that the good seeds couldn't bring. There is a depth in God that comes about when you're walking through storms. And if you're walking through a storm today, it probably isn't something that you've done wrong. We obviously have our actions, and sometimes we got to take responsibility. Okay, that was on me, but I'm going to learn from it. But there are other storms that we walk through when God is bringing something beautiful out of the storm. He is bringing a depth out of the storm. And I want to encourage you today, if you're that person, God's bringing you to a whole new depth. Richard Foster, one of my favorite authors, he writes this. He says, "The desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people." We have a lot of intelligent people around, don't we? Or gifted people. A lot of gifted people. But for deep people. Deep people. People who know the presence of God. People who know how to push past where they're at. Step into His presence in faith and believe that, Lord, You are working together all things for my good. You are turning things around as only You can. I'm going to give You the glory. I'm going to give You the honor. I'm going to give You the praise. Contentment comes with full surrender. Friend, if you need to fully surrender a situation, this is the moment. I'm going to invite you all to stand to your feet if that's okay. Contentment comes when we say, Lord, I'm not carrying this any longer without You. Sometimes we think we hide our dissatisfaction. We think we can hide the situation. God is saying, will You let Me carry it? Will You give it to Me so that I can do something within You? You might not walk out and the situation might not be perfect, but friend, let me tell you, you will walk out changed if you get a touch of His presence on your life today. You will walk out different. And you know what I found? Sometimes I've got to walk out different in faith and my circumstances catch up to my faith. And some of us need to walk out in faith today, believing that God is not done. God is not done with your family. If you have kids that are away from God and you're like, Dan, I have prodigal sons and daughters, let me remind you today, mother or father, continue to pray, continue to believe, continue to ask that God, would You reach them? Even if they're in a prison cell, God, You can reach them. You can find them. Your grace is sufficient for them. If you're walking through and you need financial blessing, you don't know, every door seems closed and you're like, Lord, I don't know what to do. Can I encourage you that we serve a God who is faithful? We serve a God who is good. We serve a God who is our provider. He is our provider, Jehovah Jireh, provider of God. It's time to fully immerse ourselves, and I'm not pointing to anything else other than His presence and the cross of Jesus Christ this morning. I'm asking that right now, if you're in the room with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want this to be a private moment. But if you're in the room and you're saying, Dan, I do want to pray for people, but Dan, I want to step in. I want a new level of depth. I want contentment in my heart this week. Before I leave this room, I choose to position myself. I want a touch of the Holy Spirit. I want a touch of Your presence. I want a touch of Jesus right now for the week ahead. I want to live a content life. If you're in the room, I wonder if you could do something bold for me. If you want to be prayed for, I just want to pray for the church. Mums, dads, grandparents, walking through different situations. I want to pray that God would bring out a depth. If you're in the room, would you just raise your hand towards heaven? I want to pray as people raise, there's hands going up. Thank you. Thank you. I want to include people in this prayer. And I just believe even as you physically raise your hand, there's a spiritual reaction going on because you're doing it in faith. You're doing it in faith. That physical action, there's a faith element to it. And Lord, right now I pray for this amazing church. I pray for every grandparent, every parent, every teenager, every young adult, every child. I thank you, Lord, that these are your people, that they have called upon the name of the Lord. And Lord, right now we just turn our eyes toward Jesus. And Lord, we declare in this room that where the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, that Lord, you have come to bring life and life into the full. And I thank you, Lord, there is only life that is found in you. A life worth living is a life with you, Father God. And Lord, I just declare the name of Jesus into this atmosphere. And I thank you, Lord, that as we lift up the name of Jesus, chains would break on mindsets. As we lift up the name of Jesus, chains would break over situations. As we lift up the name of Jesus, that young men and women who have strayed from the path, that Lord, there would be people positioned around them to direct them toward you yet again. Lord, I pray for the prodigal sons and daughters of people in this room. And Lord, I pray that there would be a longing that, Lord, even the seeds of faith that were planted when they were little ones, even the seeds of scripture that were planted with that when they were little ones, I pray, Father God, breathe on it now. Breathe on those scriptures. Breathe on those songs, those prodigal sons and daughters, that something rise within their heart, even wherever they're at. Let something shift in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray in this room that people would walk out hopeful, joyful, content in you. Lord, we thank you for the good days. But I thank you, Lord, that you're not just there on the good days. You are the God who stands with us in the fire. You do not just see us in the fire, you step into the fire. And we are so grateful to you, Jesus. We are so grateful for your son, Jesus, that he came and died for us. That we live in grace. We live in the reality of what he did. Not what we did. And Lord, we thank you that you didn't just die, you rose. And Lord, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that lives in us. Lord, raise some things back to life that we thought were dead. In Jesus' mighty name. And the church said.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.